It just strikes me. I need to say it's good to see each one of you this evening. It really is. I can remember there was a time or two through the years where at different places that we attended that just every once in a while you'd kind of have the perfect storm, and there wouldn't be people that would be able to show up for that evening for whatever reason. And I can remember just taking a beating on behalf of those who weren't there from the preacher. And I thought for a long, you know, this is the group that needs to be commended. It's good to see you all. Your faithfulness, I'm sure, is something that has to be pleasing to the Lord. And so it's good to see you. And I know some of y'all have had a very long day. Some of y'all have had a very long week, and it would have been easier for you to stay at home, perhaps, rather than come to worship. And so, again, it's encouraging to me to see each one of y'all here. For those who aren't, we have a lot that are on the road. We have some that are taking family to get them situated in college or dropping kids back off. And we had a number that just kind of got sick in the last few days as well that we want to keep in our prayers. I don't think anything really big, but certainly something that keeps them from coming, and we hope that they'll do well. And then we have some that are on vacation, well-earned vacations. It's the last few days before summer ends for the kiddos, and so we've got a number of them gone as well. So all the more important for each one of y'all to be here this evening. I feel a little bit strange standing up with just a few, though. I feel like I need to push the little podium back and get a little closer together. I won't make y'all move or anything like that. But it reminds me of that story. I know I've told it here at least once before. There was a terrible blizzard, and a circuit preacher had come by. I don't know that he'd ever been at that place before. And he came, and there was one guy there who had come to open up the church during this blizzard. And so at first he was discouraged, and he thought, well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give him the best sermon I possibly can. And so he just poured it on, and he preached, and he preached, and he preached. And finally, when it was over, he thanked the gentleman for being there and asked him what he thought of the sermon, which is never a good idea for preachers to do. And the guy said, well, it was all right. But he said, I own cattle. And he said, if I just had one cow, I wouldn't drop the whole load. So I may not drop the whole load this evening, but what we do have to talk about, I think, is worthy of our consideration, at least for a few minutes. And it's the continuation of this idea or this concept, this principle of God's holiness, and how important that holiness is for us to grasp in our lives. It begins in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, or we'll start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 this evening. And you're familiar with this passage, but God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." Now, if you just start reading in Genesis and you're not familiar with the rest of the scripture, you might wonder, well, who's God talking to? Let us make man in our image. But as you read through the scripture, especially once you get to John, you realize that Jesus was with God at the creation. As a matter of fact, we're told that through Jesus, everything was created, that there wasn't anything that wasn't created through him. We also read in Job about the morning stars or the angels singing at the creation. And so it very well could be that he's including the angels here as well. We don't know, but we do know that since Jesus is there and God says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, that he's certainly at least including his son. But there's two things here. One is the physical image. We know that God has physical characteristics that we share. We're told about the face of God, about the eyes of God, about the ears of God, the arm of God, the hand of God, the finger of God, the feet of God, the back of God in one instance. And so we see characteristics that certainly it would appear that we share from a physical standpoint. But I believe the most important thing for us to get out of this being made in his likeness and his image is that image of holiness. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, we're told, "Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy. The image of God is the image of holiness, and we were created that way. Each one of us, whether we're talking about Adam and Eve when they were first created, they were created completely without sin, obviously. When a child is born, the child is born completely without sin, and it doesn't even look that the child's sins or missteps, maybe I should put it that way, are counted against him until that child becomes of an age where God holds him accountable. And I suspect that age is going to be different for each individual. God knows when they're accountable, and that's when he starts holding them accountable for their missteps. Then when it becomes sin, that is reckoned against them, and at that point they're no longer holy. Well, we've all come to that point. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Since that's the case, all have sinned and the wages of sin is death, we have a problem because we're no longer holy, but we have to be holy, as we just read in 1 Peter. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, God talks about the part, or at least has Paul pin these words so that we can understand how he took care of this problem of a lack of holiness for us when we sin. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." This being in Christ is so important for us because every spiritual blessing is in Christ. We're told in two passages, at least two, that are very clear how we get into Christ. Galatians 3, verse 27 tells us that everyone who's been baptized into Christ has clothed themselves with Christ. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 talks about the fact that those who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death. And so when we see that every spiritual blessing is in Christ, we see how we're able to get into Christ in order to take advantage of that. But verse 4 says this, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." This plan that God had before the creation of the world is very important for us to understand, because the holiness of God is so absolute and the requirement for us to be holy is so absolute that without being holy, we can't be with him. And he knew that. He knew what his nature was, and he knew that an unholy man or woman could not be with him. So before the world was created, he had a plan. We were chosen in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. This is important because Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24, it tells us after he drove the man out, what had happened? Adam and Eve had sinned. Because they had sinned and were no longer in a holy state, they could no longer be with God. And so God had to separate them physically from him. They could no longer be in his holy presence. So he drove the man out. He placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. And so that was the other reason they couldn't come in and partake of this tree of life and therefore live forever. But we have to understand that sin has a consequence. Because we're no longer holy, we can no longer be with God. And maybe this is one of the most important principles for us to understand. People believe that they can live any way they want to. Often they believe this, and still be able to go before God and request things of him. But Isaiah chapter 59 forever dispels that incorrect notion. Isaiah chapter 59 in verse 1. "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short for you, nor is his ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Now, Jesus was very clear. He said that whoever seeks will find. And so we know that as people who are apart from God are seeking God, they still have that opportunity to find God. So I'm not suggesting at all for a moment that somehow those who are honestly and sincerely seeking God, trying to find out what he wants for them to do, are not heard in prayer. I believe they are. I think that's part of the seek and you will find. But this idea that somehow we can live a life of sin and not be seeking to do His will, not be seeking to find out how we can come back to Him, but just because we want to live the way we want, but we still want the benefits that He has for us, that somehow we have the right to go to Him in prayer and still ask Him for things even before we have repented and had our sins removed, even before we have established or reestablished that holiness. And it just isn't so. Isaiah points out that our sins will separate us from God so that He will not hear. The reason that that's so important is it helps us to understand what we read this morning about Nadab and Abihu when they came before God in an unholy way. When Uzzah came before God in an unholy way, they didn't have that right to be in His presence because they weren't holy. And because of that, they died. Well, this is kind of the whole gist of the lessons today. There's a need for us to be holy. God knew that, and yet He made the arrangements for us to become holy again once we had lost that holiness as sin came into our lives. And so this is one of the most critical things, I believe, for us as Christians to understand, is God does have a standard of holiness, and He expects us to maintain it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 that we looked at today, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Holiness is an absolute when it comes to being with God. And that's why before the creation of the world, He had a plan for us to be made holy in Christ Jesus. There's another passage that I think is important for us to understand. Romans 6:23, we talked about the first part of it, but let's look at the whole passage. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we sin and we come back to God on His terms, whether it's by becoming a Christian and having our sins washed away, or whether it's as a Christian and coming back to Him and repenting in His way, we have this gift again available, the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. It's a beautiful plan. I think sometimes we're tempted to take things for granted. And one of the things that, maybe not you, but in my life, I sometimes take for granted is this great gift that God has given to allow us to reestablish our holiness again. Not because we deserve it, but because He desires us to be with Him forever. And so He's made all the provisions. By the way, that's the reason that as we live our lives as Christians, that He allows us to have our sins continually cleansed. As long as we are doing our very best, according to His word, to walk in the way He wants us to walk. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Excuse me, I had so many pages of notes and I decided to cut it down and then I lost where I was. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son purifies us from all sin. One of the definitions of holiness is purity. And we have that purity, we have that holiness when we are walking in the light, when we are living God's life in God's way, because we're Christians. If we do that, even though we occasionally stumble, if we're continuing to walk in His way, we're told that the blood of Christ will cleanse us, will purify us from all sins. God will keep us holy if we will continue to walk in the light. Now, we realize full well that if we depart from God, if we step outside of the light, if we have sin in our life that's not taken care of, that we lose that holiness. And so this gift is not ours. But should we choose to accept this gift on God's terms, then once we've had our sins washed away, if we're walking in the light, He continues to purify us from sin. So we can be holy, so we can be with Him forever. It's a great gift that God has given us. And I guess the question that we need to ask ourselves on a regular basis is, are we taking advantage of that gift, and are we doing everything we can to maintain the holiness in God's way? Invitation's open tonight. If you have a need to respond, won't you do that while we stand and sing?